Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad that you decided to join me today. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is a young entrepreneur that has spent over half of his life in technology, marketing, and building businesses. By the age of 21, he had three catastrophic business failures and was hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. Now, at the age of 23, he is the founder of Infinitus Marketing and Technology, a company he has been building for nearly 2 years. He has been the recipient of the 2013 American Express Innovator Award, and he was also named as one of the Youth in Motion's top 20 under 20 in Canada. He is also a master connector, using the techniques and strategies outlined in his new book, Connections That Count. My guest has added over $500,000 in extra revenue to his business in less than a year and has connected with more than 800 people by hosting what he calls limitless business dinners and lunches all over North America. Now, let's hack Scott Oldford. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks, for making my life easier. What is the one thing that I am no good at? I am horrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. But now, rather than losing the receipts and handing my accountant this giant, messy box of papers, FreshBooks has this amazing app for my iPhone and lets me instantly just take pictures of receipts and sort them by touching a couple buttons. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners like you and me. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every single day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And this is one of those special episodes again. I have a fellow Canadian. Another fellow Canadian. There's so many of us on this show. But Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, John. Love to be Canadian, and I'd love to be here with you today.
Excellent. Let's get this rolling. Scott, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor so far to your successes?
I would say it would come down to, I'm going to say two things.
Perfect.
One is the ability to be not just an entrepreneur, not be someone who be authentic and being transparent. That's one of the biggest things that I've ever changed, and it happened this year. And when we're ourselves instead of somebody else or someone who we think we're supposed to be, things, the dots connect automatically in some weird way. So I think, you know, honestly, yeah, for one thing, that would be it, is just be who you are. And that's something that took me a while to learn.
Was there something significant that happened that caused you to become aware that you needed to go for authenticity and transparency?
Yeah, so it was funny, actually. Back in March, we set up a call with Chris Brogan, and we were going through everything. We were just about to launch a podcast. We had, you know, a great email list, but no one really cared. No, we never got any replies. We weren't getting any engagement from the things that we were doing. And Chris said, listen, your content is generic. I could replace your logo with anybody else's. And there's no, you know, you don't bleed on the page. You don't really talk about anything. You need to be more transparent. So it started from transparency in the company as just time went on and just weeks and weeks went on. I started becoming more comfortable with being transparent. And then in July, I told my kind of publicly, and up to this point, nobody knew my kind of failure story. And in talking about that failure story, I remember when I published it, I went in the shower and basically cried. And there was just this moment of, you know what, I'm just going to be who I am, because the person who I am, no great person ever got where they were going by being somebody else. And it was just the self-awareness that was developed over, you know, the last year in all honesty. And that's when things started really happening and connecting and things really turned to be the direction that I wanted it to go. So yeah, that it all started with Chris, and we've become great friends through that process. And he's really coached me through becoming transparent.
Yeah. Chris Brogan. I mean, he was actually the first guest on my show.
Oh, really?
As well. And yeah, so it's pretty cool. And did you, when you first spoke to him in March, was that through Clarity?
Yeah, it was actually.
Would be my
guess.
Yeah,
it was.
Nice.
Yeah, it was.
And I just had Dan Martell on. So we were talking Clarity. I love Clarity. But so let's go back. It's March. You are going to put out a podcast to go with your business. And you go on a call with Chris Brogan, which lots of us do. It's a smart thing to do. Get advice from a genius like himself, right? In like branding, especially.
Exactly.
The guy knows it. And I would think you're heading into this. I'm making grand assumptions. Correct me when I'm completely wrong, but I'm assuming you go into it and you're like, okay, Chris is going to tell us 5 steps to do to make a killer podcast, when he just tells you, actually, your stuff's kind of generic and I can replace your logo with anybody.
Yeah.
How does that feel? How does that feel when Chris Brogan tells you that?
You know what? Within the first 3 minutes, he was he's a very honest guy anyways, which I love. But he was, you know, he looked at our website and he was like, you guys are just another web development company. You don't talk about it. It was really funny because if you go to our website now, it's all about you instead of about we. And at the time it was like, we do this, we do that, we do, you know, and a lot of people don't understand that when you're trying to make someone believe something, you talk about the person that's believing that you're going to get them to believe in compared to, oh, we won this award and we won this award and, you know, we're going to make your life great and blah, 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 blah. So that was really it was a 60-minute phone call. I think it cost $420 or $450, something like that. And that was probably one of the most pivotal moments in recent history for me, where it was, wow, things aren't, the shit that I thought I had together really isn't together, and we need to change how we do things. And what was funny, so we sent an email out that was completely uncharacter of who we were, and the next day, and it was talking about our call with Chris Brogan and all the things that we were doing that we shouldn't be doing. And we had something like 15 or 20 email replies, and this is the first time we ever got a reply to an email in our entire, I don't know, 6 months since we were sending emails. And we're like, wow, that is interesting. That makes sense. And then it just kind of evolved from there, right? And we just kept on doing things, and I kept on doing things that made me uncomfortable. And whenever I make a decision to publish something now or whatever it would be, if it's not going to make me cry when I publish it, because it just cuts deep, and it's real self-awareness and real insecurities and these types of things, I don't publish it because no one really cares. And so that's kind of my new rule that I've adopted from kind of a hybrid between Chris Brogan and James Altucher.
Nice. I love it. And I think it's absolutely true. If you're not willing to put yourself out there and put passion and yourself into it, then why should anybody care?
Exactly.
And right? It's just the way it is. So, and sometimes it feels weird, and it does. It puts people off, even certain people, but that's totally fine too. We don't need to make everyone happy, right?
Oh, I mean, I when I sent that email out, I mean, I had some people, you know, basically be like, F off, you know, all these different types of things. And you're going to find, I really believe, and again, this is a kind of a new belief for me as well, is the people that, and this is for clients, for the people that are around you, the people that you shouldn't, that don't need to be around you, won't be around you if you are who you are. But if you're trying to be somebody else, you're going to be around a bunch of people that you probably don't like and you don't have the same values and you just dread. And so, you know, if you have clients and you take the phone call and you're like, oh my God, or you see their email come in, you're like, oh, what is it now? Compared to when you get a client email and you have similar values and you have a similar, you know, a great relationship. You're like, well, how can I help them? And so when you're authentic and when you're true to yourself and your business is true to the values and you know, you pick the right clients and you pick the right people to work with, not only are you going to be a lot happier, but you're going to be able to do a lot better work and get to your destination a lot faster.
Yes, exactly. Funny story, Scott. I I write my newsletter to my listeners once a week.
Right.
This past one on Sunday.
Yeah.
I sent it out from the gym. I just worked out. My wife and daughter were still swimming. I said this all in the newsletter. This is great, right? I got good engagement, but I didn't proof it because it's just how I am. So I sent it. Then it popped up on my phone because I'm on the list and I read it. And there's my newsletter. And then right below it is my newsletter from 2 weeks before that I had not deleted. So it's like this super long email. And so I'm just like, I'm such an idiot is all I say. I'm like, no. And so I wrote an email back to the list again to all these people on there who are listening right now. But I was just like, I'm an idiot. Sorry. I apologize. But this, all I want to say is that if I can run a successful business online and a podcast, and I can screw up this badly and be this much of an idiot, trust me, you can do it too.
Yeah. I mean, I
15% remember, of the people on the list replied to my email and said, thank you for the sincerity.
Yeah. You know what? It's, I'm very much like yourself. Like everything I write goes through a writer because I'm just a horrible writer. And, you know, almost everything I write on Facebook and on Twitter and all these different kinds of things, you know, there's no such thing as grammar, no such thing as spelling. And typically anyone that brings up the grammar, if it's on Facebook, if it's not in a totally business environment, I'm just kind of like, screw off, I'll block you. Because, you know, if all you have to do all day is look for other people's mistakes, then, you know, I don't really want your energy around me. But in saying that, just as a story for you, I remember I was launching a company, that was probably 3 years ago. And I don't know how we did it. Honest to God, I really don't. But the title of the subject line had, I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was like a blatantly obvious spelling mistake. And it went through two different writers at the time. And I'm like, how the hell did there were six people that proofed this. None of us realized what it was. Anyways, I pushed the send button and holy crap. I had 30 people replied. And this was this was like the email of like, hey, we're the new kids on the block for this. And it was, and it started off with the subject line had the like worst spelling mistake of life in it. And so if both of us can screw up as bad as we do and get the results that we do get, I completely believe that anybody can do it.
Exactly. When Dan Martell was on, actually, he says he's a terrible speller too in grammar. And he was writing at that point once a day on his blog. This is last month.
Yeah.
And he was just exactly. But I love it because he's like, I don't proof. I just literally write it. I hit publish. Because emails will start showing up from people telling me about the corrections or comments. And he's like, and it's great. It's awesome. Because then I just, as they're telling me.
He just posts his thing to like WordPress. And then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously his wife and owns Onboardly, which is a PR company. So typically get some flack from over there. I would expect, and then people just email him with all the corrections and he don't even need to worry about it.
You know, he goes in and fixes them. He says, he just says, I don't have to hire an editor.
He does.
There's editors out there for me.
It's essentially like, it's like crowdsourcing your editing, which is not a bad idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Scott, in every entrepreneur's life, there's a time where they realize they either have to make something big and make a mark in the world. They have some calling for it, or which seems to be more the case with my guests, is they realize they just can't work for someone else.
Right.
Can you tell me which one of these is you and when this happened?
Well, I've never worked for anyone else, so I'm going to cross that one off. I don't know what it really feels like to work for somebody else, thankfully, and that's a great advantage. When it comes to doing something big, so just a quick 30 seconds of my story. I had my first business when I was 8 selling eggs. And by the time I was 16, I had a full-fledged web development company with 30 or 40 people, somewhere in between, depending on the time of the year, but working with me from all over the world. I had massive failure when I was 19, had a massive failure when I was 20, had a massive failure when I was 21. So three in a row. And you know what? It was June of 2013, which is not very long ago in reality. And, you know, I merged my company into another one and I got depressed, actually. I got very depressed because I didn't have full control. I didn't have full ownership. I didn't feel like I was kind of pursuing my real dream. And, you know, I started overeating. I started, you know, just, you know, playing a stupid amount of video games and just not motivated and all these different types of things. And there was a pivotal point in May, June, which I got to experience a 3-day event And that one event literally changed the direction of my life and the reason why I'm here right now. And I came back from that on a Friday. I moved my stuff out of the office on a Saturday. And then, you know, on Sunday, the partner was like, "Hey, where are you too?" And I'm like, "All right, listen, man, I'm out. Like, this is done." At the time, I had $750,000 in debt. I had $600 in my bank account and a $10,000 credit card limit that was my mother's. And that's what I built my current company. It was one of those moments where it's like, listen, I don't have any room to screw up. If I screw up, I'm going to end up, you know, back in my parents' house, or, you know, I'm going to end up doing, you know, probably having a well-paid job because I have a lot of talent and I have a lot of skills, but that's not the life that I want to live. And that's not my destiny. And so I just had that moment where I said, failure isn't an option. And I'm just going to, instead of trying to figure out how to get something for me, I'm going to figure out how I can give value and give help to other people. And there was this paradigm shift where that happened, where I was looking at what I can give the universe instead of the other way around. And as soon as my mindset changed, and as soon as my character changed on that perspective, my entire life changed. And because of that, I've been able to build we did just under $1 million in revenue in our first year. And, you know, we were able to do some amazing stuff because we weren't thinking about, or at least I wasn't thinking about me. I was thinking about who we worked with and the people that were around us.
Nice. And so this is interesting because this is your last chance you felt where if you failed, you would have to, although it would be a high paying job with the skills and the knowledge you have, you say,
I don't really care about money. Right. So, you know, I don't,
right.
I don't,
but that's
you know, you could give me $1 million a year as a salary and I'd still say, screw off. And because I would definitely classify myself as like the misfit, unemployed type of person that, you know, I have a very strong direction. There's no such thing as no. And if you say something's impossible, then, you know, good luck because I'm going to make it possible type of thing. Right. And I just, there's just no way I would ever be able to work for anyone. And outside of that, you know, if this failed at the time that it did, I, you know, essentially would have to put myself in bankruptcy and remortgage my parents' house, which is not exactly something that you ever want to do. So, you know, there was lots of pressure there. You know what I mean?
No, typically no. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I'm sure if it came to that, I'm sure I could get by working with someone or working for someone. But I'd probably, you know, fall in a deep, deep depression, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay, so you took your company in the first year to $1 million in revenue. So this means to me that you know how to work. So let's segue into some work. Today, you told me because you had like a conference yesterday or an event that you put on. So today was a day that you didn't have much to do. But say tomorrow is a full-on work day or whenever your next full-on work day is. Can you walk us through, say, the first 30 minutes of that work day and how you set yourself up to kind of kick ass and go to $1 million in revenue in 1 year?
Sure. So... you know, my morning routine, and this has been, I'm not sure if you know Hal Elrod in the Miracle Morning or not, but that's absolutely, if you don't have him as somebody on here, I would highly recommend him. Hal Elrod, the Miracle Morning. I can connect you after the show. No problem. So he's a friend of mine and I'm working with him on developing an app for the Miracle Morning. But the whole idea that the premise of it is that you do, you know, a few key things in the morning, which, you know, spans from meditation to reading to journaling to, you know, visualization, these types of things. So the first 30 minutes of my day is one, first off, tech free. So there's no technology in the first typically hour, but I'm going to say 30 minutes. So, you know, I get up, I drink a liter of water, I go back and I get in the shower for about 15 minutes. And in the shower, I meditate, I visualize, and essentially from a gratitude perspective, you know, essentially think about what I'm grateful for. And then I think about what I'm actually doing today and getting myself in the mindset. So really loud music, all motivational music. And I have an absolutely amazing shower that has two shower heads. And it's my space where I've always just been able to let my mind kind of roam free. So Then from there, I use the 5-minute journal, which is absolutely a brilliant journaling book that phrases things from what you're grateful for, you know, what you want to accomplish today, these types of things. And then, you know, I'll be completely honest, the last couple of weeks because of things I haven't, but then I'll typically do, you know, 20 minutes on the treadmill. So that's the typical first hour of my day. Does it happen every single day? Definitely not. But I'm striving to make it so that it is a habit that I won't break, because it is so powerful to have that first hour in the morning to yourself so that you can frame the rest of the day.
Nice. So you don't check your phone first?
No, I don't. And I actually that's uninstalled. Impressive. I don't have email on my phone. Yeah. So essentially,
that's probably pretty.
Yeah. Helpful. So yeah, completely. And so that, you know, I'll check my text messages because basically anybody that texts me is probably something that's important or you know, they are important in my life. But outside of any text messages and that type of thing, that's really all I look for when I hopefully don't push the snooze button.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. So this, after the 30 minutes, this then brings you into your work day.
Sure.
Every blog post, every productivity expert now is talking about the 80-20 rule. And they say, do what you're good at and delegate or get rid of the rest. Sure. Can you tell us or tell me something, Scott, that you are absolutely not good at?
I'm horrible at writing, but I do it anyways. That's number one. I'm horrible at managing, so I don't do it. So I'll give you the lowdown. Back a couple of months ago, as a team, we got together and we essentially fired me all, from everything in the company besides two things. So I have no control over the execution whatsoever in the company. That's not my forte. I can do it. But, you know, I should be doing things that I can bill $300 an hour for, not things that I can get somebody to do for $30 an hour. So it really came down to my two things that I love the most, not the two things that I'm best at, but the two things that I enjoy the most. And they were number one, which is strategy. And that means strategy for the company, planning, those types of things. And then strategy for our clients, where the vision, where we're going to be going in 3 years, how we get there, where we're going this year, how to execute these types of things. The second thing was developing relationships. And relationships, developing relationships, that means business development. That means, you know, going and having lunches and dinners and events with brilliant other entrepreneurs and business people, because that's our main way of new business. And so I wanted to focus on, and I believe that no one should focus on more than two things in their business. And in order for me to actually get there, another thing that I had to do in the last few months was hire a financial strategist in order to take care of all the finance side of the business, because I'm just not good with it. It's one of those things that not only am I not good with it, if I continue to manage the finances, I probably end up in a bad place. So yeah, exactly. And I'm completely aware of this, and my team's aware of this, and we're a very transparent company. Everybody knows how much money we make on a monthly basis. Everybody knows how much each person makes. So we're a very close-knit culture and a very transparent culture. And 40% of our profit is shared to everybody that works in the company. But, you know, just sort of going back to that main point, I think the 80-20 rule needs to be the 95-5 rule. So I think that everybody in your company, everybody in your organization needs to be doing 95% of the things that they absolutely love. And this is very different. 95% of what they love. That does not mean 95% of what they are good at. It's two totally different things. When people love what they do, which, you know, they should, and you give them the right job and you give them the right responsibilities based on what they enjoy, there's no hours, there's no overtime, there's no whatever, because that is what they would do regardless if they were there or not. And so it's inevitable that 5% you're not going to enjoy, but you really have to, like, if you really want to build a great culture and you really want to build a great company, you get everybody, you understand what they love, you understand what they like. It's not the thing that they're, you know, like, for example, the person who, you know, writes our proposals. Like, she's good at writing proposals, but there's two other people in the company that are far better, but they don't enjoy it. And because they don't enjoy it, they don't do it because I don't want them to be doing something that they don't enjoy. Because think about this, John. When you're spending an hour on something that you don't enjoy, you're only really getting 10 or 15 minutes of productivity. But if you're spending an hour on something that you really love, you're getting 4 hours of productivity. There's a huge multiplier dividing effect.
Wow. That's smart.
Right. So you don't need to have employees. A lot of the things that I stopped doing, I created processes for, and then use things like Zapier, Fancy Hands, you know, Ruby Receptionist, all these different types of things in order to automate certain parts of my life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cost a ton of money. I realize that a lot of people don't have a team, and I realize a lot of people don't have, a pretty big budget for a team and those types of things. But outsource everything in your life that you absolutely don't. Like, I hate grocery shopping, so I outsource grocery shopping to somebody else. Every single week, they get the exact same thing at the grocery store because I eat the exact same thing every single week. You know, I hate washing clothes. My fiance hates washing clothes. If we both don't like washing clothes, that's probably going to create stress in a relationship when it's like, oh, why isn't my clothes done? So guess what? We outsource that too. People create problems for themselves, and it's like, listen, cleaning the house, my fiance also works from home. She has, technically plenty of time to clean. It's like, she doesn't want to clean. So for, $40 a week, why not get somebody to actually clean your house? Because again, it's going to create stress on your relationship. It's going to create stress on yourself. And I guarantee you, if I'm going to be cleaning the house, someone better be paying me $300 an hour, because I know that my time is that valuable. And you need to understand where your time is. Like, find your level of genius and find that 5% that you offer, that 5% of genius that you offer, and get rid of everything else. Because typically 100% of the things that we do, only 95% of them is replaceable.
Exactly. Awesome, Scott. Let's move quickly to the future for you and your company. So we are sitting here exactly 1 year from today. We're celebrating the amazing year Scott and Infinitus had. Can you tell me what it was you did and what you accomplished to make it such an awesome year?
I had focus, which most entrepreneurs don't have, because we all have ADD for the most part, or some other screwed up, thing that they call it is a disability. So focus, we're really bad at focus. Second is empowering every single person that's around me so that they can make the decisions that they need to make, and so that I don't need to be part of them. Entrepreneurs are also not good at giving control, because we want to control our destiny, and thus we want to control everything around us. And ensuring that from a financial perspective, and actually this goes back to, it's not from a really financial perspective, but I'm working with the right people, and that I surround myself with the best of the best. And I don't settle for anything less than what I'm worth and then what the company's worth. Because almost every entrepreneur and almost everybody goes through this period of time where they self-doubt themselves. And it limits us from saying, hey, I'm worth $50 an hour, to the fact that, you know what? I've been working for 15 years. I have 15 years of experience. And in my niche, in my industry, I'm worth a shitload of money. And a lot of people look at value as what you're providing. So for example, Chris Brogan, I think he charged, like $750 an hour or whatever. Like Dan Martell, $1,000 an hour. I guarantee you, if you have a conversation with Dan Martell for an hour, he's going to make you, 100 times your investment, right? Mm-hmm. So think about that. And it's like, okay, well, my hourly fee is obviously really low, or, whatever that may be. So not having self-doubt and self-worth issues, which is something that, I've been struggling with, because it's kind of like, why me? Why am I here? And when you get rid of that, man, the world's limitless.
Nice. Very, very well said. We've talked about your company a lot, Scott. We've talked about you a lot. Can you tell people where they can go and find out about those two things?
Certainly. So of course, as you said, the company is Infinitus, but I don't expect anyone to know how to spell it. So they can find me over at scottofer.com. And from there, We have a couple podcasts, Limitless Business Podcast, as well as the Executive Minute. I'm not the most active on Twitter, but I'm very active on Facebook. And as long as you look like a cool person and you're exciting and that type of thing from the first page view, I always kind of accept, because I always love meeting new people and just meeting interesting people. I crave human connection, and I love the ability that of being able to help people.
Excellent. And scottoldford.com and Infinitus Marketing. I'll put links to both.
Yeah, you can put it in the show
on the show notes for you, and cool. It'll take you there and your podcast, because I recommend them to everyone.
Awesome.
So, Scott, thank you so much. Please keep doing what you're doing, because it's awesome to watch. And yeah, just good luck out there, man.
All right, John. I'll talk to you soon.
Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Authority Rainmaker, a carefully designed live educational experience that presents a complete and effective online marketing strategy to help you immediately accelerate your business. Do not miss the opportunity to meet two punk rock legends, Henry Rollins and me, John Nastor. All right, well, one punk legend and a whole bunch of other incredible speakers, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and I would love to meet you there. You can get all the details right now at rainmaker.fm/meetjohn. Yes, rainmaker.fm/MEETJON. And I would love to see you there in May, and it's going to be an epic, epic conference. So Scott, thank you so much for joining me today. And you said a lot of smart things, but you said one thing, didn't he? He did. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Find your level of genius and find that 5% that you offer, that 5% of genius that you offer, and get rid of everything else. Because typically 100% of the things that we do, only 95% of them is replaceable.
And that's the hack. Scott, yes, exactly, exactly. Find your level of genius. I love that. I love the way he says it, and it's so true. We all have a level of genius, and it's not in everything. It's not in most things. It's usually not even in some things. It's in one or two things. And you have to look inwards at yourself and find what that is that you do. Scott can connect. Scott can just knows how to get people to have dinner and then talk business. And whether he gets business out of that or not, or other people do, he's part of that connection. And that's amazing for his business and what he does. And that's truly powerful and something that we do have to find what our level of genius is and what it is that we do that can provide value to our customers and to our audience. And I love it. Just find your genius, that 5%, and just try. Obviously, at the beginning, when you are just starting out, you can't outsource or get rid of 95% of the other things, but consciously know that those things do at some point need to be taken off your plate and done by somebody else. And you need to focus on your genius and what makes you who you are, and what makes you of value to the people that you are out there serving. So thank you so much, Scott. That is just awesome. I love it. So hacktheentrepreneur.com has finally received its facelift. It is an amazing design that has been done, and I am so happy about it, and I would love if you checked it out. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the place. At the top there, you're going to see a spot to drop your email in and get the email from me once a week. Every Sunday afternoon, I'm writing some of my best work, and I would love to have you on the list and to receive that. That's also the email that you can hit reply to any of the emails, including the welcome one, and you can reach me. That's direct contact to me and my inbox, so please use it at your will. But yeah, check it out, hacktheentrepreneur.com. I've been excited about this for a couple of months, and I've been talking about it, and we are finally live. So check that out. And yeah, that's it. It's been a great show. I thank Scott, and I thank you so much for joining me. I know you have a lot of options out there, and I appreciate you taking the time to spend it with me here today. So until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.